are thinking, well, now the Western troops coming for release of Berlin. Goebbels was exclaiming one of the biggest decisions of war Hitler just made. He is now determined to no more to fight against the West and only to the East in Berlin, and this will mean that the Western powers will join us in our fight against Russia. And such things happened every now and then, and then a few minutes afterwards everybody was speaking about suicide and how they are preparing it. Goebbels in details was saying how he will let his children killed, which were already in the bunker.
Dann kam nach einigen Tagen das Telegramm von Göring. Mein Führer, nicht mehr mein geliebter Führer, sondern mein Führer, ich weiß, dass Sie nun vollkommen eingeschlossen sind und nicht mehr im Besitz der vollen Befehlsgewalt sind. Nach dem Nachfolgegesetz trete ich nun an Ihre Stelle und werde Deutschland nach innen und außen zu vertreten wissen. Ihr Göring. Hitler war so aufgebracht darüber, er saß in seinem Sessel, konnte es zuerst nicht fassen. Hinzu kam Burmann, der nun noch das etwas zündete, sodass Hitler dann sagte, mir ein Ultimatum stellen, das ist ja wohl das Letzte.
And one day there came one of the men of the press bureau, press office, and brought the news. He had, I think he had heard it by radio from Reuters news agency, that Himmler had have negotiations with Graf Bernadotte for capitulation. And Hitler was very upset, because he held Himmler for his most faithful paladin and the most reliable one. And now he saw that also he had tried to betray him. He remembered suddenly that the poison which he had to use for himself were given to him from one of Himmler's staff, and he mistrusted that it may affect perhaps Himmler tried a dirty trick and gave him something like what only make him unconscious, so that he could be transported against his will out of the bunker and delivered to the enemy. And to test this, he ordered a doctor to try to test this poison capsule at the dog. So he said farewell to this creature. I think it was next Eva Braun, this one who stood next to him. And Blondie died very promptly.
En handfull tyska antinazister kom ryssarna som befriare.
Tuesday morning, the 24th in the morning, we suddenly saw the Gestapo had disappeared. During the night, the whole prison was given over to normal prison guards, old men, loved nice men. And when we saw that, many of the uniforms the Gestapo guards had put away there. We said, now when the Russians take over, you are the man who will be killed, not me, not we. Let us out. They were very, they said, no, we can't do that. Tonight the Gestapo will come back. And then we made, in the afternoon of Tuesday, we made an agreement with them and said, look, we will put out ourselves, we the prisoners, some guards on the roof and observe the coming near of the Russian front. And in the minute we hear Russian gunfire, not only the artillery, shelling, then you let us out. They said, all right. When the door was opened at the prison, there was with us a Jewish Russian doctor who was in concentration, inmate of Sachsenhausen, the famous. And he, I don't know by what reason, was a month ago, was brought by the Gestapo to our prison to do the most dirty jobs in the prison all the time. And we couldn't contact him much, but we knew him, of course. Then he stood there on the street and where to go as a Russian. And I said, look, come with us. My mother-in-law will feed you. You can't come in our basement. And he went with me. When the first units of the Russians came 2 days later, he met them on the door, addressing them in Russian. He are all anti-fascists in this basement.
When the Russian came in the end, we found the first lot, the fighting troops which came in. They took away our watches, of course, and they were very cautious, and we could understand that. They took away things they liked, but they behaved very businesslike. They stayed in this house here, and they lived in this room, three or four of them, quite high officers, and they got up in the morning at 8 o'clock, and then at 9 o'clock they went out to the Tiergarten, which isn't very far from here, and behind the Tiergarten is or was the Chancellery, where Hitler was still alive and fighting. They went out and did their job and came back 5 o'clock in the afternoon sharp, and then they asked me down here to play the piano and give them a little tune, and then we drank together. We sang together.
Suddenly we saw the first Russian soldiers. They knocked at our door, came in, and were very kind. Said to my mother and to me if there were German soldiers in the house or asked for weapons. And then they left. But the next Russians were quite different. One of them raped me and other inhabitants of the house.
These two women who were living next door, they were killed, and we weren't able to bury them because the shelling was still going on. When the Russians came along and they asked us, where are your women? We want to have your women. Frau, 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 they said in German, or they call German. So I had the trick, or I found the trick, to take them to these two dead bodies. I opened the carpet and said, this is my Frau here. I can't supply you with any women. These are the only two women we knew here, which we had. And the Russians kneeled down, some of them, and made the cross and said little prayers, which was very astounding, and got up again and kissed me because they thought I was the widower, and gave me presents, gave me cigarettes, gave me bread, clapped me on my shoulder, and went off again and got what they wanted, probably the next house or in the next street.
Every night time I used to go home to see my mother and get something to eat and some cigarettes and so, because we didn't get any food at daytime. And my mother was every time, every night, she was very lucky to see me again, naturally. And so my mother asked me, and also other people from our house, they asked me, just take your uniform out, stay here, and don't go back to fighting. And always I said, no, I can't do it. I couldn't stay at home safe, you know, and they are still fighting.
Zhukov kallade slaget om Berlin ett av krigets allra svåraste slag. Det kostade ryssarna över 100 000 man. tyskarnas sammanlagda förluster är okända.
Штурм Берлина. Все больше и больше сжимается кольцо окружения всего Берлина и в центре Берлина. Мы уже буквально в сотни метрах от самого звериного гнезда отставки Гитлера имперской канцелярии.
Then he began my last will. And then he dictated me at first his private will and afterwards his political testimony. And I must confess that I was at first in a very excited mood because I expected that I would be the first and the only one who knows, who is going to know the explanation and the declaration why the war had come to this end and why Hitler couldn't stop and why the development and why the catastrophe. I thought now I will come to the moment of the truth, and I was heart pumping when I wrote down what Hitler said. But he used nothing new. He came out with his old phrases. He repeated his accusations, his revenge swearing to the enemy and to the Jewish capitalistic system, and then he announced in the second part of the history of the political testament, he announced a new government.
Eva Braun hatte es bis dahin fertiggebracht, den Führer dort hinzubringen, dass er jetzt doch mit ihr eine Hochzeit improvisieren wolle. Man holte zu diesem Zweck einen Beamten aus dem Propagandaministerium, der als Standesbeamter fungieren sollte.
I joined the others on this little welcome of Hitler, and they were sitting there around a table, and so I had to congratulate Eva Braun, and I was a little shy what to say, and I shake hand to her, and she said, oh, you can say Mrs. Hitler to me now, and I did.
På raketen stod, den här är för riksdagen. På andra stod det, kom ihåg Stalingrad, kom ihåg Ukraina, kom ihåg änkor och barn, kom ihåg tårarna.
Aber Hitler hatte seine Konsequenzen jetzt gezogen. Er verabschiedete sich von allen und ich als letzter von ihm. Hitler sagte zu mir, ich habe den Ausbruchsbefehl gegeben. Es soll in Gruppen ausgebrochen werden. Schließen Sie sich einer dieser Gruppen an und versuchen Sie, nach dem Westen durchzukommen. Ich fragte daraufhin Hitler, für wen sollen wir uns jetzt noch durchschlagen? Daraufhin sagte Hitler monoton, für den kommenden Mann. Ich machte meine Ehrenbezeugung, er gab mir die Hand und ich verschwand aus dem Zimmer.
Suddenly, there was a bang, there was a shot, and it was obviously within the bunker, because the noises of the outside shooting, we were we know how they sound. And the little boy of Goebbels, he noticed, and he noticed that that was another sound. He said, "Oh, that was a bullseye. That was a bullseye." And I thought, yes, you are right. That was really a bullseye.
Ich trat mit dem damaligen Reichsleiter Bormann in das Arbeitszimmer Hitlers. Dort bot sich uns das Bild. Hitler saß links auf dem Sofa, etwas das Gesicht vorgebeugt und rechts herabhängend. Er hatte sich mit der 765 in die rechte Schläfe geschossen. Das Blut war heruntergelaufen auf den Teppich und aus dieser Blutlache waren Spritzer an das Sofa gekommen. Rechts von ihm saß Eva Braun. Eva Braun hatte ihre beiden Beine auf das Sofa gezogen und saß mit verkrampften Lippen dort, so dass es uns sofort klar wurde, dass sie Tsiancali genommen hatte. Ich nahm Hitler am Hals. Hinter mir waren zwei andere Offiziere vom Begleitkommando und so nahmen wir Hitlers Leiche und zogen mit dieser in den Park. Im Park legten wir die Leichen zusammen nebeneinander und übergossen sie mit dem vorhandenen Benzin. Im Park der Reichskanzlei waren ringsum Feuer und es war dort ein Sog entstanden, so dass wir normalerweise mit einem Streichholz die Leichen nicht entzünden konnten. Daraufhin drehte ich einen Filibus aus Nachrichtenmaterial und der Reichsleiter Bormann, der nun mittlerweile auch oben war, mit anderen wie Dr. Goebbels, Burgdorf und Offizieren, zündete den Filibus an und ich warf den Filibus auf die Leichen und im Nu waren die Leichen in Brand gesetzt.
И вот мы ночью ворвались первыми в это здание, завязали бой в здании, но задача стояла водрузить знамя над этим зданием. Поэтому нас была группа Салиджан Алимов, это узбек, был комсорг батальона, он со своими комсомольцами все время действовал со мною вместе. Они как бы охраняли меня для того, чтобы можно было ворваться и добраться, чтобы водрузить знамя. И вот мы уже, когда ворвались в здание, по лестничным клеткам стали подниматься на чердак, то где-то притаившиеся фашисты стали обстреливать нашу группу. И Салиджан был ранен в голову. Он упал, товарищи бросились к нему. А мне в это время надо было пробираться для того, чтобы водрузить это знамя. И вот, уже подойдя к проломам крыши, я сумела телеграфным, куском телеграфного провода привязать наше красное знамя.
Армия очень довольна тем, что наши союзники также били врага.
När östs och västs arméer möttes i hjärtat av Tyskland upplevde man ett kort ögonblick av värme och kamratskap.
Well, we can't speak the lingo, but we start the same way together, can't we?
Yes. Well, all the best, old man. I'm very, very glad to have met you. Very glad indeed.
Благодарим вас за помощь, которую оказали вы нам в войне против гитлеровской Германии.
Thank you very much. We don't understand the language, but we mean the same thing.
När striderna var slut kunde man visa medmänsklighet igen. Röda armén såg sig som befriare, inte som hämnare. Hitlerrikets brott måste sonas. Men det var de vanliga tyskarna som fick sona dem.